If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 7. And when you find that, please stand with me. We'll read verses 13 through 14 in a message that I've titled, The Road Less Traveled. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 13, Scripture says, Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Brother Mike Goodson, would you word our prayer and ask the blessing upon our reading of the Scripture? May be seated. There was an event that happened that may have escaped your attention. I don't know how it could because it was very significant, although it was not picked up by a lot of the major news outlets and stuff. But in Norman, Oklahoma, on May the 26th at 1:30 in the morning, a lady gave birth to the most beautiful, wonderful, precious, perfect granddaughter to ever live. And if you don't believe me, just look at that picture. And she just happens to be my granddaughter. Okay. I got 117 photos we're going to go through real quickly here. And so, I'm just kidding. But I tell you what, Becky and I could not be more proud of our granddaughter, Harper. And as I was able to hold her for the first time, I couldn't help but be a little nostalgic, think about the things that I have witnessed, and to look at her and think about the things that she is going to experience. I couldn't help but wonder what kind of lady she'll grow up to be, because she's beginning a journey, a very long journey at times, sometimes short. And we pray for her every day. I pray for her and my son and daughter-in-law every day, more than I've ever prayed for them. And I know that the journey that she is going to take is going to have a lot of joy. But there's also going to be some sadness. There will be laughter, hopefully lots and lots of laughter, but there will also be some tears. You see, this life is a journey. A few years ago, there was an animated show that came out on, I think it was Pixar or Disney or someone, called Cars. I think they're up to two or three of those now. One of the songs in that first one was a song that was actually written back in the early 90s and recorded, but it really wasn't that popular until Rascal Flatts recorded it. It says, Life is a highway. And indeed, life is a highway. As a matter of fact, there are several passages of Scripture that reference the journey of life, that we are always moving. We're never sitting still. This life is a journey, sometimes a very difficult journey, sometimes an easier journey, but nevertheless, we are all on a journey. On this journey, we are following a path. As we are children, we will follow the same path that our parents took. We're walking the path with them. I really like what Brother Dale shared with us last Sunday night about his father telling him to walk where I walk. As children, we walk where our parents walk. We're on the same path. But there will come a time, usually it's around the time we graduate from high school, that we face a fork in that path, and it's time for us to begin our own journey. Follow our own path. And so we start down, we deviate from the path that our parents was on, and we begin to find our own way. And this won't be very far there. Our first decision will be whether we go to college or whether we go straight into the workforce or whether we go into the military. And we'll choose one of those paths and that fork in the road. And we'll continue down that. There will come another path as we will decide later on what career, if we go to college, that we want to pursue. And then there will be another fork as we decide what job that we want to take and maybe where we want to live. And so we're continually on this path. All of the married men in here, all of the married men, look at your spouse, look at your wife. Just take a look. Wade, you can go ahead and look at Amanda. The only thing this church wants to know is what took so long? I told someone it took him that long to wear her down to where she'd say yes. At some point, your path crossed the path that she was on. Aren't you glad? And at that point, you and her decided to pursue a path together. And you've been on that path together. Somewhere along that lines, you have brought along children into the world. And they're going to walk that path with you as well. For a while, then there will come a day when they'll have to find their own path. They'll have to find their own way. Robert Frost, who is a great American poet, he's my absolute favorite. He published a work in 1916 that I'd like to read for you. It's called The Road Not Taken. He says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." The poem talks about the agony of decision-making on the path of life and the consequences of those decisions. Jesus also talked about making the right decision and choosing between two roads in our text. There are a couple things in considering this spiritual path that I want you to understand before we examine it. First of all roads do not lead to heaven. It's very important that you understand that. The second thing is that the road that you choose will have eternal consequences. Don't ever mistake that. There are people out there who are saying things like, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as we're sincere. We're all trying to work our way to the same place. I'm not trying to work my way anywhere. And if you're trying to work your way into heaven, I will tell you without any hesitation, you are on the wrong path because you can't do it. Jesus said in here to choose or to enter the narrow gate. First of all, we see that there are two gates. What is a gate? A gate is the entrance point to an area or to a path. We all know what a gate is. And in the scripture that we just read, it tells us that there are two gates. The first of the two gates is the wide gate. It is wide because it does not require giving up anything to enter that gate. It's the come-as-you-are mentality that allows you to believe whatever you want to believe and still get through the gate. It is a crowded gate because a lot of people are trying to get through that gate by doing whatever they feel like they want to do. That's the narrow gate, or the wide gate, rather. The second gate, in contrast, is the narrow gate. Now, a lot of people, when they read this, they think, I don't understand. When Jesus says that it is a narrow gate, it must be very restrictive. It must be such that there is a prejudice. Don't think that at all. I believe that when the Scripture says that whosoever will, it means whosoever. It is only narrow in the respect that there is only room for a person to pass without the baggage of world possessions. You cannot take anything of this world through that gate. It is best exemplified in Matthew chapter 19. Turn over there, if you will. Chapter 19 of Matthew, just a few pages over from our Scripture. I don't have this one in the overhead. Matthew chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16, and this exemplifies exactly what Jesus was saying here about the narrow gate. He says, "Someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good things shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' Then he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, 'Then who can be saved?' And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" You see, Jesus was not trying to tell him that there was a way to enter heaven through works. A lot of people misunderstand that scripture. He was simply pointing out to the rich young man that his possessions were in the way of him coming through the narrow gate. You see, he had all of these possessions, and he put great faith in his possessions and the things that he had done, his works. And the Lord pointed out to him, "You don't have what it takes to be saved because you're putting all of your faith in these possessions instead of your faith in Jesus Christ, the only way to get through the narrow gate." The second thing that we see here is that there are two ways. The first one is the broad way. Why is it broad? Well, it's broad because it is very crowded. Excuse me. It is the way that man has tried to create for himself. We see in the Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, it says that there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That exact proverb is repeated again in the 16th proverb, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man. That's where we get into trouble, when we start trying to find the way that seems right to us. A lot of times the problems, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't all try and get an education. I think education's good, but our education a lot of times gets in the way of us simply accepting Christ by faith. We think that we are so smart, and we try and reason things in our own mind. We try and reason things in our own thought process, and we try and create something that seems right. This sounds very feasible. This sounds reasonable. That's the way that I'm going to pursue. That's what I have come up with. That is what I have created. I have carved out my own way. I have made my own path to heaven because that's what seems right to me. I think that's how it ought to be. I've got news for you. If you're slogging out, trying to chop your own way, you're on the wrong path. Instead of being on the broad way, you need to be on the narrow way. Again, talking about the narrow way, the narrow gate. Some people misunderstand this scripture, and they say that God is very selective as to who will be saved. That is not what this scripture is saying. It is narrow in the respect that it has a very particular requirement for entrance, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way. That's the only way, is faith in Jesus Christ. There are not many paths. There is one path to life, and that is through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Notice that he did not say, "I am a way," or "I am one of many ways." There are actual religions out there that will teach you that there are many paths to eternal life. That is heresy. And believing in anything other than the redemption of your soul through the blood of Jesus Christ will lead you to hell. Christ is the only way. He says so here in the scripture. It also says over in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "And there is salvation in no one else." No one else. "For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." You get that? No other name. No other way. No other gate. Only through Jesus Christ can we enter eternal life. I hope you're on the right path, because these two paths have two very different destinations. And if we're on a path, then it must mean we're going somewhere. If we're going somewhere, I don't know about you, but I want to know, where am I going? If Kevin Burnham calls me up and says, "Hey, I'm going to come pick you up, we're going to go somewhere," my first question is going to be, "Kevin, where are we going? I want to know before I commit to going." So what are the two destinations? The first one is the destination. Of life. The destination of life. It says in John chapter 3, verse number 16. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We all know that scripture from memory. We've quoted it many times. It is important to you to understand that that is the destination of those who are on the narrow path. That you have a destination of eternal life. We're also told in Romans chapter 6, verse number 22 and 23, "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the destination for those of you who are on the right path. For those of you who are following the narrow path, you are on the right path. And make no mistake, one of the great things about being on the right path is that you are never alone on that path. Even though there are few that find it, according to what Jesus says, you are never alone on this path. My favorite psalm, Psalm 23. Let's read that very quickly. If you want to turn over there, if you just want to listen while I read it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Look at these words. "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. Forever. If you're on the narrow path, you have eternity to look forward to with Jesus. You will be in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. Notice again the words that talks about. He leads me beside the waters. He guides me. He walks with me through the shadow of death. Again, life is in movement. Life is fluid. And you're never alone. God is always there with you on that path. But if you choose the other path, the broad path, your destination is destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. Listen to these words. Paul writes this. He says, "This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. After all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to those, to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That is the destination of those who are on the broad way. It's broad because there are a lot of people on it, as I said before. And you know what? There are actually a lot of religious people that are on the broad way. You see, religion will not get you on the narrow path. Religion will not do anything for you as far as your redemption. But there are a lot of people who are doing a lot of religious stuff, trying to make their own path on the broad way, trying to achieve eternal life. They cannot do it. As a matter of fact, going back over to chapter 7 of Matthew, turn back over there, and let's read a few verses here, beginning in verse number 21, just down from what we read earlier. This is Jesus. By the way, this is part of His Sermon on the Mount, if you've read the whole thing. And He says in verse number 21, He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are going to be a lot of people who stand at the judgment and say, but Lord, look at all the things that I did. I taught Sunday school class. I gave my tithes and my offering. I was at church almost every Sunday. I did all of these things. Surely I'm good enough to be admitted to the kingdom. And he'll look at you and say, I never knew you. You put your faith upon those things instead of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You try to enter through the broad gate rather than trying to enter through the very specific narrow gate. Listen, for those of you that are members of this church, I think that's great. I'm glad you are. And you show up. It's good to get here. I'm like Brother Doug. It's no fun to preach to just your wife. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. But your attendance here and your membership in this church, even if you gave your tithes, do nothing as far as securing your eternity. But there's a lot of people out there, religious, good, well-meaning people, who are trying to work their way to heaven, and that's where they're putting their faith. Your faith has to be in the only person that can redeem your soul, and that is Jesus Christ. It's the only way. He is the narrow gate. He is the narrow way. He is the path to life. In closing, I want to read the last stanza of Robert Frost's poem once again. He says, I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all of the difference. Let me ask you, as we prepare for an invitation, will you take the road less traveled? Will you come to Christ through the narrow gate? Will you take the narrow road? Anything else that you're trying to do in an effort to slug your way through and make your own path is vain, and it will lead to nothing but destruction and death. There's only two destinations. So choose today which one you're on. Choose today which path you're going to take. And take the road less traveled. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for your word and the promises that we find contained in it. Father, we just pray that this message has found its mark, not through any effort of mine, Father, but through the prodding of the Holy Spirit. We pray that if there's anybody here who does not know Christ as their Savior, this will be the day that they enter through the narrow gate. This will be the day of their salvation. We commend all the events of this invitation into your hand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.